Rio, can I get a fucking cat, don't you?
All right, you fucking wankers. We're going to get this fucking podcast started in 3, 2, 1.
What's good? Flag Lahore listeners and YouTube... fucking hell, I fucked up the fucking intro. What's good, Flag Lahore visitors, Clean Shoe listeners? It's back. We are back. This is like our second episode in a week. Look at this consistent uploading. This is Giannis numbers right here. We're back for your favorite podcast once again. It's the Clean Sheet. Everything new, talking about football, international football, Champions League football, English Premier League, and everything else in between. We had the conclusion of two of the biggest tournaments, or probably the two biggest tournaments after the World Cup, as far as international play goes. Before that, we have to introduce... Yo, real quick, by the way, this it doesn't matter because you can't see us, but the synergy between us three today is going to be unmatched. We are all shirtless right now recording this shit. So let's get right to it.
Hey, yeah.
Bro, what? That wasn't out of pocket. I just had to say it.
I said, hey, yeah.
That lift the demon. Shot him.
What's up, creamy listeners? Why? I finally changed my TikTok name. It's creamy now. I think that's what we're going for the brand, bro.
creamy cosmetics, creamy
underwear, everything.
Creamy. Yo, stop.
A creamy pies.
Cold.
It's out of pocket.
Cold 2055. Cold Stone gets bought out. Creamy Stone.
That's fire.
We have Rio the Dio, the God. What's going on, bro?
What's up, everyone? What's up? We're all shirtless today. We all got our predictions right, except Enrique. But, you know, that's a topic for another story. I think I said that wrong.
you did, but that is somewhat facts. But real quick, before we get into the actual football and stuff that actually matters, we got to follow up on this. All right, mate. So on Saturday night, yeah, Conor McGregor, he got fucked.
Yeah, he got fucked by Dustin Poirier.
It was a good fight, though. It was a good round.
It was not a good. Well, actually, no. The round
was amazing. Why?
I think round was pretty good, but McGregor looked like he was going to lose before he even went down. Anyways.
Yeah, but he had some hits that stunned Poirier when he kicked him on the ground. That shit was beautiful.
Yeah, Khabib came out and he said he's done, and I agree. I said if he loses this fight, no matter what, he's done.
I don't know. I said the same thing, but the way he lost it, I don't know. Because Poirier said he wants a four, bro. He said if he's not getting a four. Poirier said it. He said if he's not getting a four, he'll fight him on the streets, bro. So we're going to see one more.
Nah, bro. Because he's got to be out for like a hell of a lot of time out now. And apparently he's going to get plates and screws and all this shit in his ankles and shit. Like, it's just, he's done, bro.
It's a year of recovery.
In my opinion. Yeah, it would have to be like a year recovery. He would have to get like, he would have to fight a washed dude before going straight into it. It's just... And by then, I don't even know if Poirier is going to still be in the game, to be honest. I think he might want to cash out. I mean, he's had a good career. He's had a great career. But that's completely irrelevant. Let's actually get into what matters today, and that's the two international finals. Both were fantastic. I think both were actually very showing of what, like, the football is like in each tournament. Like, Copa America was very grimy, and that's what Copa is all about. And the Euro final was just a tactical stall-out shit show, kind of, at least for the second half, in my opinion. And I think it was very indicative of what both tournaments are like. So they were great. I thought both finals were great, especially I think from a neutral, the Argentina and Brazil one was maybe a little less appealing, but the outcome was worth it, at least for me, to finally see Leo Messi bring up that Copa. So
I don't know. That shit was a dirty game, bro.
it was dirty as fuck.
No, I saw a tweet and it was like have a European team come play in Copa America.
Nah,
they're not making it out.
Yeah, they said that some guy making like $10,000 as a plumber, bro. He gonna send you they gonna send you into a stretcher, bro.
He is, bro. He has nothing to lose, bro. He'll tackle the shit at you and clock in for his job the morning after. So, this was a grimy game. And the one goal by Di Maria, the one goal actually that separated both teams was like off an error. So, I mean, it was a beautiful ball in, but really you should be asking Renan Lodi to put that down a lot more, at least challenge Di Maria a lot more than he did. So Lodi definitely is just to be in blame for that. But besides that, it was a great finish. Chipped Ederson, you know, Allison would have gotten there. Overall, just a good match. I think Messi, obviously, since everyone was going to talk about it, and don't worry for, I guess this is probably going out to Jeremy since he's probably the most concerned with it. But don't worry, there's going to be a Ronaldo Messi segment. It's not going to be today, though. It's not going to happen today. But it was, you know, a pretty bad game by Messi standards. But the rest of the tournament for him was sublime. So I think you can't say that he didn't deserve this. I mean, Ronaldo didn't even play in his final. So
because Casemiro.
No. Get that fouling merchant out of here. Yeah. No.
Man,
so what do we think about the game? Not so much as the result, but the game itself.
I thought it was an alright game, to be honest. I thought it should have been a little more exciting. Pretty anticlimactic. I thought Messi would do more. He didn't. Neymar did try it enough, but wasn't enough, to be fair. And as we said, it was going to be a Neymar masterclass to bottle it to Messi, bro. The entire Brazil squad. So it happened, and you know, I'm glad that Messi got his trophy. Like, that's all he hoped for, except for Kareem. He's Ronaldo stan.
Yeah. I don't think anybody that isn't a Ronaldo fan was genuinely upset at what happened on Saturday night.
I wasn't upset.
Well, you're not a Ronaldo fan. I would call you, you know, just a Real Madrid fan. You know,
He supports Portugal and he's not even from there. What are you talking about?
Actually, that's a good point.
Who do you want me to support? Lebanon, bro? I don't see you supporting Panama.
Where? I do.
No. Incorrect.
To give real credit though, he's the only one whose nation here has made a World Cup. I mean, they got no points and got the lowest goal difference of all time, but
I love how that nigga knows that by heart.
They made it though. No, I knew it. I had to pull that up, bro. It was a grimy game. And I think the biggest indicator of that as well is the fact that Gonzalo Montiel, he had 8 interceptions, which is the most. Like, no one in a Euros game this year had that many tackles plus interceptions. So it's just a lot of, you know, a lot of shithousery going on. But it was great. It was great to watch Messi finally lift that trophy up. Y'all can let me know, but I don't think I've ever seen a team react the way they did after the final whistle. It was crowded a singular player.
Yeah, they just went straight to Messi. Di Maria scored the fucking goal.
I don't know who it was. I think it was Lo Celso. It might have been Lo Celso. Like, as soon as the whistle blowed, as soon as the whistle blew, he like got on his knees and like praised God. But then he saw his whole team running towards Messi and he just stopped what he was doing and just ran with him. And I was like, bro.
He realized who God was there.
Yeah, he realized he was on the pitch that night. It's great to see for Messi to finally win that tournament. And this was not an easy tournament for him to win. I mean, he went up against a good Brazil team, you know, a decent, decent Colombia team. You know, I know you two don't share that opinion, but a very good Ecuador team, in my opinion, definitely better than that Colombia team. I think that Ecuador team was good. And, you know, this is deserved. I think one of the things for Messi for sure is the fact that a quick shout out to Emiliano Martinez for sure.
Oh, yeah.
He was unbelievable this whole tournament. But
I think he got a golden glove as well.
I think he did. I think he might have, yeah. One thing about Messi now that's pretty scary is that now there's no pressure on Messi. You need to watch out, you know, because now coming into the World Cup next year, there's no, you know, there's not going to be any of those narratives about, oh, wow, Messi can't get it done. And every single World Cup match feeling like a final, like it's not going to be like that anymore because he got what he wanted. And I actually think we can talk about this here, but I actually think him winning Copa is actually indicative of him probably staying at Barca. I think more so than he would have lost the Copa.
Yeah, if he lost Copa, I think he would change teams. Lucky.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of a shame. I think he should have changed teams still.
I still think he still should, bro.
I'm starting to lean towards no, but why do you think so, Kern?
Because he needs to go. Barcelona are not winning. Let me tell you, as a Madrid fan, a Real Madrid fan, I don't even think we're gonna compete next year with Atletico, bro. Like, we have no one. We lost our heart, dude. They literally have no one. Like,
you're losing Varane too.
Hey, Alaba.
We gotta wait till it's confirmed. No, but Barcelona have no one. Like, Pedri showed what he can do.
He did.
But like, Griezmann just. The second he gets his feet back, like, he just loses it all.
Yeah.
I don't know. And then they can't even sign all these signings. Have you guys seen how it's like they're like 200 million, like something like that, that they have they have to get rid of before they can sign all these stuff.
So they're trying to loan out Griezmann too, which is hilarious.
So I think it's time for them to rebuild, bro. Go back to the old ways, the academy players.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they have Pedri, who we're going to talk about Pedri in a second, but like, I think the future at Barcelona shines a little bit brighter than Real Madrid. If I'm being – I'm starting to lean towards, I think Messi should stay at Barcelona. Because you think about it, in terms of football, in the last 20 or 30 years, how many one-club men are there in the world? I mean, there's Totti with Roma.
You know, Zanetti.
Yeah, Zanetti as well.
Gerrard.
No, well, technically, sure, yeah, but he played.
I count Gerrard, and I can't kind of count Rooney. I don't know. I count them.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. If we're saying MLS,
Xavi, Iniesta, like
Xavi. Yeah, those are technically not one club.
Lampard, like
no Lampard, Chelsea, and Man City.
Yeah. Well, but like legacy, yeah. Like you stayed a club for more than 10 years, I'd count you as a one club man.
No.
12 years.
If you say like, oh, you only spent like 1 year outside of it, then maybe, yeah. But like just 10 years, I wouldn't say so. I think, but either way, as far as actual one club mans go, by like the actual definition, he'd be a rare breed, and that'd be pretty crazy. I think. But now I think the onus is so much more on, like, if he wants to leave now, it's not because he's running from Barcelona. I think, like, he's done everything now. Like, especially now with Argentina, it shows that he doesn't need to have that Barcelona system that, you know, which is stupid anyways. But people will say that you can't win shit out of Barcelona. You can't really say that anymore. So, I mean, I think it'd be interesting to see him leave. I would want him to not go to the Premier League because, no.
Well, why? What other league, bro?
PSG, bro. Go.
Nah,
that would tarnish his legacy so bad. I think that would
tarnish his legacy.
Bro, like about PSG throwing up like a fucking like 110 points through 38 games, bro. Like
especially if you didn't lose, and the stakes would get bigger to win the Champions League. If you didn't win the Champions League, all of a sudden name.
Yeah, but if you put Messi on PSG, bro, there's no doubt in my mind that they will win. No, there's no doubt.
Especially because they have to balance that wage bill pretty decent. And, like, we saw it this year. Like, this PSG team was kind of just Mbappe and Neymar.
Oh, no!
And they got beat by a good team. Like, a team, not, like, just two players. So, I don't know. I would want to see. I don't want to see. If Messi wants to leave, I think Serie A would be cool just to see him and Ronaldo spark it back up. If he wants to go to Man City, fine. I just won't watch the Prem for 3 years. Mm-hmm. You know, that's it. But we can talk about more of Messi transfers when we get there. So what were final thoughts on the match, the outcome, the fact Messi has a trophy for international play, even though he had a World Cup? But
I just thought it was a match that should have happened. Like, you know, like it was expected that you won an Argentina-Brazil final. You know, you wanted Argentina to win for Messi and, you know, job got done, and that's about it. Like, nothing too much out of that. It's like,
yeah,
thank God it happened.
Yeah, I'm glad it happened. I'm glad it happened. Because I mean, he's cemented. He's cemented.
As much as I hate to say, bro, think now with this win, bro, and with him being the favorite to win the Ballon d'Or again. You saw what Lewa said, bro. Lewa said that he does not mind. Like, he wants Messi to win this Ballon d'Or.
Nah, wow. Bro. Fuck that. Oh, shit.
What a cag, bro. Man got scammed out of his award last year, bro. Doesn't want it.
Like, he's humble. I think what the Ballon d'Or dealer should do this year to show some real class, give Lewa his Ballon d'Or for last year and Messi this year.
That's in a perfect world, bro. We don't live in a perfect world.
Yeah. Nah, bro.
This is UEFA we're talking about.
Pretty much.
I need it. I need that. But yeah. So then let's get to the other hemisphere where it did not come home. Wow. It came to Rome. England faced off against Italy in the Euro 2020, played in 2021, but Euro 2020 final. And England lost, as they often do, in penalties after the score was 1-1 over 120 minutes. Wow.
Lots to unfold here.
Yeah, so much to talk about in this game. Rio, kick it off if you want.
Well, let's start off with English Justin Timberlake scoring the first goal.
Should we start with the lineup? Sorry to interrupt, but
the lineup. Oh yeah,
yeah, because it was Gareth Southgate. Shit.
Yeah,
and I said it was dog shit when we texted before when he got announced. I texted this lineup is dog shit or something like that. I don't know if that's exactly what I texted, but.
It was a five back with it was obviously Pickford in goal. You had Stones, Maguire, and Walker at the three back. Yeah. Then for your wing backs, you had Shaw and Trippier. And then for your holdings, you had Calvin Phillips and Declan Rice. So that partnership stayed. Yeah. And then you had a three up front, a trident with Mount, Kane, and Sterling. Personally, I thought that was really fucking stupid. Like, I don't know why they decided to go for the five back. It just did not work. Maybe for the first 10 minutes of the game, and then you can argue the half. But then beyond that, it was just so fucking bad. Like,
It was awful. Like, genuinely awful. Like, this is maybe the worst lineup he could have picked. And he's lucky that they got out to the start they did. And I think the reason why it happened, Rio, you mentioned the first 10 minutes they played well, and I agree. I think that came down to a little bit of shock, but mostly down to the fact that England actually played really well in the opening 5 minutes to expose the hell out of the flanks of Italy. They killed them on the flanks in the first 10, 15 minutes. And that's really the only minutes they played better than Italy. It was the first 10 to 15 minutes. But Italy, being the team that they are, astute, they adjusted. So you saw, after those 15 or so minutes, Dean Lorenzo and who we got to give also props to, Emerson, completely closed it up. They were way too – they really were getting stretched out in the first 15 minutes. They didn't. Jorginho started covering a little bit more of the flanks.
I actually believe they were too narrow.
They were too narrow is what I mean. In terms of how they started playing out. And so once they adjusted, it was over from England. England had one shot on target, as we all know, obviously only being that second minute shot. And it's just so dumb. Why in the world are you going to defend a one goal lead for 88 minutes over the best team in the tournament? Like, that's no offense, but that's a small nation mentality, bro. And I get that to many people, England is a small nation, but they just reasserted themselves with that.
Yeah, I honestly think that they could have done better. At least, like, if you're going to do the five back, I would be very flexible with who I'm starting at that right back position. I honestly think that if you start Reece James, you can honestly start, like, you start off the game, right? And, like, you're like, okay, we're playing that five back system, right? And we get an early first goal. Like, we need to now control the tempo. We need to, like, make sure that Italy does not get back into this at all, right? So we should slide into the four back, put Walker out on the right, put Reece James in the middle, right? And then we're still defending, but now we can still be a little more flexible and use our attackers a little bit more. Sterling, Mount, and Kane were completely isolated. Kane was not getting in the ball at all from Mount or Sterling. They weren't doing the correct runs. Mason Mount had a ghost of a game. Sterling was he had, well, I think he had most triples. No, he did not have most triples on the pit, but I think he was the most actively involved out of the Trident. Declan Rice did not play bad. I wouldn't say he played bad at all, to be fair. I think Calvin Phillips didn't really show up either, but I'd say that England's best players, like, were their defense at that point, like, to be honest. And starting with Luke Shaw, Walker was all right. And then, you know, Maguire, Stones, they played pretty all right as well. It was just like the defense did most of their job, but that's only because they were sitting back against Italy. And I think that was like their biggest fault. You don't go up 1-0 in the first 2 minutes and then don't decide to keep pressing. Like, it's okay if you lose a goal back. You can still keep fighting.
Yeah.
Right. Like early on as well. Like, it's not going to change the tempo that bad if you're also pressing, and it creates a more exciting game, to be honest. But Italy did well, to be honest. Like, the way they adjusted, because I think they were lost the first 45, like, arguably, like, after that first goal. But then they came off, like, in the second half, and that's when they started ticking, like, in reality. Like, the start of the second half, they began ticking, to be honest. Like, you could see, like, Chiesa started getting more involved. Insigne's dropping into the pockets. Verratti's getting into the spaces, creating. He had the most touches on the field out of England's entire midfield. Subbed on players as well, which is insane.
Yeah, and we're going to talk obviously about the substitutions because they were completely wrong, especially the timing of them and whatnot. But I agree. I mean, I would disagree to the point that I think Italy didn't get going in the second half. They got going in the 20th minute, in my opinion. They weren't very direct 20th minute onward as far as the first half goes. But like in terms of who the movement off of the ball, in terms of the chance creation off, you know, with the ball, actually, in terms of the movement, the players, the fact that England were just sitting back and letting the barrage of balls and passes be played around them, I think it shows. Sure, the score after 45 minutes was 1-0, but in my mind, I was not going into the second half thinking, yeah, this is gonna end, you know, 1-0. Like, it's not. If England, at that point, I was thinking, yeah, England are going to win. It's going to have to be like a 2-1. Maybe they nick another goal or something. Because it was just nothing. The lineup, in my opinion, just touch on it for one last time before Kareem goes, the lineup was completely awful. I don't know why in the world you play five in the back and two defensive midfielders and Kieran Trippier. Doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to me. Mount, for sure, in my opinion. I'm sorry, but Mount was awful. Honestly, not just this game, but I think overall the tournament really didn't play well. Sterling, Kane in the first 45 was great in terms of his passing output. His passing was great in the first 45. The next, what is it? The next 65, ghost. Absolutely awful. Just not a lot to pick apart from offensively from the England side of things. Again, like you said, yeah, Luke Shaw was fantastic. Kyle Walker did what Kyle Walker does. And, you know, Stones held up. Maguire held up. But, I mean, they just never got out of their own, like, third, to be honest.
They didn't really much. I'd probably want to – let's focus a little more on Italy. Mancini, like, that's a class manager. Keeps the same lineup. You know, like he completely understands like when to make his switches. I think he knew that Immobile wasn't doing anything with the front line and completely got him out of there.
Yeah.
And completely changes the game with Chiesa dropping into the middle slot and just completely exposing England, to be honest. The way he just carries the ball and is always constantly a threat. Like, he made Walker and the Stones, like, you know, have to like double up on him constantly. Yeah. He's always attacking with the ball and like their second half was very beautiful to watch with Jorginho leading the play. Insigne and Emerson collecting on that side. Insigne drops into the middle, creating free space for Emerson constantly on the wing. And Verratti is always there to receive the ball back and get it out there. Like, they were working perfect triangles, moving the ball across side to side. Chiellini and Bonucci, arguably, what a pairing. Like,
you know, yeah, I was just about to mention that. Yeah, maybe. Are they maybe the best center back pairing of all time? I would probably say, yeah.
I wouldn't say of all time, but I'd definitely say like it's like you can't argue that it's not top five.
I think it's secured, but we're going to talk about that in a second. I want to hear what Kareem has to say just because we've been kind of shutting him up. Kareem, what was your thoughts, bro? At least a regulation, what the game was like.
I thought England, even if they imagined, bro, they couldn't have imagined a better start. Like,
yeah,
for the game. And then I think it was just awful. Everything after that, like, I understand you guys want to win. It's the final. But I realistically don't see them, like, you can't not concede to this Italy team. What streak are they on? 33 now? 32 games winning streak? Yeah. Like, you can't not concede to this team. So I think Southgate, it's just fucking stupid, bro, with his subs, with his lineup. You and me were talking about how he shouldn't start two defensive mids, bro. This man started a five back with
two. Five with two. What is that?
Like, I don't know. Like, it was just awful. But in the end, I think you got to blame Southgate. And I think
they use
a lot of the pen takers as scapegoats. We see what's been going on with them in social media and everything.
Piss take.
But you can't be – you got to be mad at your manager, bro. Like,
yeah. I mean, bro, like, yeah, we agreed on not having two DMs. And, I mean, if you were going to tell me he was going to play two DMs plus a five back, well, I was – yeah, I mean, this is going to end, like, 2-0 Italy, you know, easily. But it's just like when you have your front three so isolated, because Declan Rice and Phillips obviously give you nothing going forward. When you have them so isolated, it makes them look even worse than what they looked like the entire tournament. Mount looked bad, yes, but I think some of it has to do with the fact he got no service or no balls to give a service into.
Pretty and much. So there's a difference just with like, Chelsea. It's that formation.
Yeah, it's made them look bad overall. And I think it definitely falls on Southgate, who, I'm going to be completely 100. He had a lot of good decisions this tournament, at least. You know, he had some decent decisions every now and then. But this one was by far maybe his worst of his England career. I mean, just I don't get it. And, I mean, we haven't even talked about the subs yet, which is the crazy part. But just to kind of touch a little more on Italy, because, you know, obviously we're bashing England. But I think this was a game that Italy won rather than England lost. Jorginho, again, putting a fine performance, creating six shot-creating actions, which has led both teams, obviously. You had Di Lorenzo, who was huge one more time. He got off to a little bit of a shaky start. Again, he was kind of getting exposed on the defensive flanks, but he ended up with nine tackles in this game alone. So huge, huge, huge. And overall, I mean, it was just such a team effort. You look at this Italy team, and you don't see a single piece that they could go without, yet you could also see how each player could be, you know, masterminded by its manager to fit the same role. Like, it's kind of a weird thing because you look at a guy like Chiesa, when he's on the pitch, you can't imagine this Italy team without him. But then he gets substituted for another player, and they find a way to get the same output maybe out of one or two players that you would get with Chiesa on the pitch. It's fantastic. I think Mancini definitely deserves a lot of credit, but I think just the I mean, it's just such a solid team from top down. It's crazy to think this team didn't make the 2018 World Cup, and obviously they were not under the same man. And a lot of the people here weren't as, you know, revitalized as they were during this winning run. But they look good. And, I mean, they obviously had to be favored, but just a great performance all around. I think from the starters and the subs are great. Bernardeschi was a great addition as well. And, you know, I think, We can talk about the penalties, but
I think most of Italy's praise should go to Marco Verratti, to be honest. Not he just him and Jorginho run the midfield, but Verratti's like he's a box to box, and it's just like how does he do both so well is like the real question for me, because it's like he's their attacking midfielder for sure, but then like you can also see defensively like how sound he is. Like, it's ridiculous to see someone, like, especially his height as well, like, physically interact, constantly winning balls. He's always up, like, trying to win everything, like, no matter his size and his height. Like, that passion is different that he has.
Yeah.
And it truly shows on the pitch with the way he plays, bro. He just wants the ball. He wants the ball. He wants the ball. And it's just about collecting the ball, receiving, touching, and moving. And that's honestly the difference. Like, I think that England should have played with the two DMs. I just think that it was the incorrect choice of DMs.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, to reiterate your point again, I mean, Verratti had the most
touches no format, on the pitch. And no fallback.
Verratti had the most touches on the pitch for both players, for both teams. And, I mean, it just goes to show he's really the metronome of this team, but he also can give you a lot defensively. Yeah, I just think The subs were awful. If we're getting into that, Kumar, I want to hear what you think about the subs for sure. But I think, look, I think the subs were great, but wrong timing. For sure, wrong timing. I mean, you don't ask a player to come on after, well, Rashford hasn't even played any of the knockout games. So, like, you're asking a player to come on for the first time in a competitive match in, like, 2 weeks.
He played, like, 30 minutes the entire tournament.
Yeah, and take you know, the biggest penalty of his life. And, you know, it has come out that it was Gary. You know, Grealish came out and stepped forward and said, no, I asked to take a pen. Gary Southgate said no. So I'm going to put it on Gary because that's what the players are saying. If Gary chose these five to take penalties,
he's fucking ridiculous.
I'm not going to say you should be sacked in the morning because you got this team in the final, but you're on thin ice, buddy. Like, if you don't make it to, you know, if you don't hit the ground running in this World Cup, he's got to be out. He's got to be out.
Don't they still have, like, friendlies and qualifiers, but they still got friendlies and stuff. I feel like if they go on, like, a really bad streak now, like, I feel like they should sack him. Like, I just think they should. They can get a way better manager.
If they can sack him and they see a decent enough alternative, sure. I think he has, as much as it's tough for me to say, I think he has earned his position to the World Cup. But, I mean, anything short of, at this point, another finals run for me has to be a sackable offense. It's just awful. I mean, if you had those five players, especially, for example, Henderson came off. Let me actually make sure when he came off. He came off in the 120th minute for Rashford. Like, why? Henderson is one of the most seasoned players on this team. He's the only player on this team to have won the Champions League and the Premier League. Like, he's been in big moments. Keep him on and have him be, you know, your fourth, your fifth penalty taker. It doesn't make sense to me.
I personally don't mind, like, who he chose. Like, Rashford just got unlucky. Like, he sent Donnarumma the wrong way. You could say it was the nerves, whatever. He hit the post. That's just unlucky. Jaden's, this was pretty buns. But what I have a problem with is you can't put it on Saka, bro, the fifth penalty taker. Nah. You have Harry Kane, for God's sake. Yeah.
Step up, bro. Step up.
Man hasn't done shit this entire tournament. At least have him take the fifth penalty. So I think that's where it was, like, the most strong. Like, you can't have Saka do that, bro.
Nah, bro. Absolutely. It's just awful, bro. And especially the comments afterward. I mean, Saka is a baller, in my opinion. He's a top five player on this England squad. Maybe alone on that, but I think he's a top five player on this England squad.
You really think that?
I do. I really do. I know that's...
Yo, get that really out of here. First off, I can name five players better than Saka if you'd like. Wait, are we talking, like, attacking? Like, is it just strictly attacking wise, or, like,
just give me your five, bro, and we'll debate it.
Or in general, I need that. I can name five either way.
Go ahead.
Okay, it's basically every other player older than him. Sancho's better. Rashford's better. Kane's better. Sterling's better. Mount's better.
Are you really gonna say Sancho's better?
Oh no.
Bro. Oh my, there's you have that actual opinion.
Stop it.
You're telling me that you would, if you had to pick a player to put on your team at that right mid spot, you're picking Bukayo Saka over Sancho.
Bukayo, bro, you gotta get it right.
Okay, my bad. Bukayo Saka over Sancho.
He's versatile. He can play in that right back position. As far as I go, bro, I think Saka's upside is he's going to be a great player.
He's going to be a great player, but does not mean he's a top five player in that squad. Heck no.
Kareem? This is our first good
debate. If we're talking about
first good debate in a minute.
You got to give me specifics. Are we talking about current, who I'd want for 5 years?
Like, that's why I said attacking players. Oh, well, young players. Well,
I'm mostly seeing
Foden's better too
at that young player. No, stop, bro. Come on.
I mean, Foden got overhyped, and then when it
came
to,
like, Rio, you even said Foden's overhyped. Don't do this.
Okay, just because he may be overhyped does not mean he's not better than Saka, though.
I think I'm gonna add it to the list. I feel like we gotta debate this now.
Foden can play. look, for
he's
me,
a, he's good. He's good.
Saka is just pace, bro. And like at times, like his dribbling lacks, bro. Beyond that, pace and cross, and that's it, bro. Saka tricking y'all, bro.
bro. He's strong on the ball. He can dribble. He's gonna be a much better dribbler. But he's already a really good dribbler, and he's got the defensive work rate. He can play at that right back spot. You can't say that for a lot of the guys in that English team.
That's fine. Okay, you're versatile, but doesn't mean you're a better player.
Absolutely, I agree with you. But either way, since I don't want to run off, we'll go back to this. Actually, I definitely want to have this debate because I think Saka. Yeah, go ahead, Kareem.
At the end of next season, bro, we'll see.
No, for sure.
You guys make a little friendly wager.
So yeah, Saka might end up being
$100 on the line.
I want a naked mile.
Oh, by the way, we do have to say this. Since I don't know who was keeping track, you know, definitely not me. But if you guys are listening and wondering about it, Rio did by 1 point win the challenge for predicting games. It was a close race. It was a close race, but he did end up on top. So, you know, I don't know what he's gonna get. Kareem, can you clarify what he's gonna get or something?
I want my Chipotle.
I got you 70% off, Chief. Don't worry.
Fed is listening, bro.
I'm not doing anything illegal.
No, that's facts. Using the
coupon code since day one.
Chipotle, bro.
Coupon code since day one, bro.
Yeah, that's facts. But anywho, it means all this is meaning to say stop the hate on these young black men on the English national team. That's a
whole different subject. Yeah,
they're ballers, and without getting into it, for sure, it's just disgusting, bro. Either way, getting back onto the football, I wanted to make this little side point, and I wanted to see and debate it because we're pretty much out of segment talk in terms of reviewing the games. I brought it up just a couple of seconds ago. Bonucci and Chiellini, are they the best? Oh, actually, before I get into that, I'm going to talk about that one last footnote. Who should have been the player of the tournament? And also, do you guys want to do the team of the tournament? I don't think it should have been Donnarumma. I think it should have been Bonucci.
I don't know. I think it could go either way. I think each of them, they both needed each other. Make a duplicate, Brian. Give it to both.
I want a standout player, though.
Okay, how about the
Verratti
goal? That's okay, that's fine. But how about the player that had the most passes completed as a center back and scored the goal that tied the game? Alvaro that's just Morata. One game, obviously, but huh?
Alvaro Morata.
Oh, shit. Yo, you on to something there, bro. You want something there? That's a good one.
Yeah, bro. Damn, no. I'm saying Marco Verratti for player of the tournament.
Okay.
An absolute engine in midfield.
Shot him.
I would just give it a Donnarumma, bro.
I guess for the saves, yeah. At that point,
did win two penalty shootouts. That's a good point.
You can't win without your keeper doing good.
Yeah. All right, so we have two avenues we can take this. Best center back pairing of all time, team of the tournament.
Team of the tournament fits the...
All right, second. Then let's fucking do it. Rio, what formation will we be going with today for the team of the tournament?
The three back, because that's what almost every team played.
Correct. So we're going to go ahead with the 3-5-2. Since that was actually, no bullshit, the most played formation this tournament. So wingbacks on both sides. And we can start with the keeper, Donnarumma, right?
Obviously, yeah.
All right, cool. Donnarumma. The three center backs. I think it gets a little bit interesting here.
Bonucci, Walker, and I can't even think right now. I'm tempted to just say Chiellini because they were just all together. You can put like Stones unironically.
I agree with Bonucci.
I don't know. I think Maguire, as much as I hate the break.
Oh my goodness.
Nah, not he showed his class.
That's not bad. I guess. Yeah. I don't think Maguire's a bad take on that either.
I don't like the guy. Ugh,
fuck Maguire, dude.
Like for me, it's a toss up between Bonucci, Chiellini, Walker. You know, I'd put this Walker / Maguire, either or. To be honest, I put
Walker, Bonucci, Maguire.
Wait, Rio, what was your third center back?
I want Chiellini and Bonucci in there, but it's either a toss up between Maguire or Walker.
Interesting. Yeah, I think I'd probably go with what Rio said. To be honest, both the Italy center backs were imperious. And then you have, I guess we could throw one of the English. I'd probably lean towards Walker. He impressed me a lot more.
Yeah.
But it is what it is. Left wing back position. Who are we going with?
That's you guys not a question.
Shaw.
Yeah. Luke Shaw for sure.
Not a question, baby.
Right wing back position.
Miley.
He's Denmark, a left back.
But he played either side.
No, he played all 8 games he played in as a left back.
I'll still put Miley.
All right. Kareem, are you going to go with Miley or are you going to go with an actual right back?
I don't know. My bad. Why Kyle Walker got to do this? I could have put Maguire in, bro.
Actually, you could technically do that. He didn't play many games as a right back, but I think we should probably just go with Walker, I guess.
Walker, yeah. Then.
All right. The three midfielders.
Pedri, who else? Pedri, Jorginho, Verratti.
What is Spinazzola, Connor?
He's a left back.
Left back.
I'm gonna, for sake of argument, I'm gonna go with
Jorginho's a must. No, Jorginho's a must.
Jorginho's a must.
And I'm gonna go with
I think Jorginho.
Should I be that guy and put Pogba in there? I thought the 4 games he played, he was fantastic. So
yeah, but it's a whole tournament and he wasn't in for the rest of it. So I'm gonna just say.
Fair enough.
Pedri, Verratti, Jorginho is perfectly fine.
Can I do 2 midfielders?
If you'd like.
I'm surprised you didn't go with Mount, to be honest.
The fuck? I'm not dumb. I'm not deluded, bro.
All right. So, yeah, I think I might agree with – because, damn, who else really? I mean, you could go with if we're going – we got to show some love to Denmark. I'd probably go with Pierre-Emile Højbjerg. Was also good. Yeah, oh, this guy's shaking his head.
He did. But he did, I put Mele. I put Mele in there.
Okay. Well, then, yeah, we can go with those three. All right. For the front two.
Chiesa.
We can allow us to cheat, so we can go with wingers, since technically there's no spot for wingers.
Yeah. Chiesa and...
I'm going Chiesa and...
I was going to say Sterling.
Yeah, I guess Sterling. I was going to go with Patrick Schick, but I forgot Sterling did quite a lot of the haters.
Lukaku?
I rated Lukaku.
What?
He did good, but like... I don't know if it's the team that let him down or himself to him. He let himself down, bro. But I just feel like it'd be a disrespect to the other players. Cause like, if I'm going to put Lukaku, then I'm going to be like, okay, you can just put the top scorers. Ronaldo, you can put like Ronaldo or Schick for that, at that point, bro. Like if you say Lukaku, bro, I'm going to be like, okay, Ronaldo and Schick scored more goals than him.
I think it's Chiesa and Sterling, but I will accept it if you go Schick over Sterling. That's crazy, bro. We're actually considering Lukaku.
Heck no.
Scored, what was it? A hat trick against Russia and like a goal against Finland?
No, it was 2 goals against Russia.
Just lost $100. Oh.
This guy. Well, all right. Well, then that's our team of the tournament.
So to recap the team, right? So it's we agree. It's Maguire, Bonucci, Chiellini with Donnarumma.
Slow. Hey, you got too much dip on your chip. You got to start with the big man Donnarumma.
I was about to say that. So Donnarumma, goalkeeper. Our three center backs would be Chiellini, Bonucci, and Maguire.
I agree.
Our right back and left back, or left wing back, and right wing back would be Shaw, and then Walker, as you guys agreed on. Then our three center mids would be Jorginho, Pedri, and Verratti. And up top, we have Chiesa and Sterling. Yeah.
Just because there were, honestly, yeah, this was not a good tournament for the Nines. Look, I get Schick and Ronaldo were great and all, but no. I'm not putting Ronaldo in there. Anyone who says Ronaldo should be in the team of the tournament, Kareem, I'm looking at you, bro.
Did you hear me mention his name?
That washed penalty merchant. All right. Well, I guess that would be it for today's segment. I mean, whenever these guys want to talk about some, I mean, there's no football. That's number one. There's no more football until the season starts, but there's obviously a lot of transfer talk to dive into. Grealish, Sancho, and much, much more, especially what Real Madrid are going to do with that big spending war chest of theirs. So, guys, any last thoughts, concerns, questions, alibis?
If you're listening to this right now, I'm going to need you to shoot us a DM. Let us know what you guys want to hear. We're all for the viewers, the listeners. We just want to, whatever you guys want. I know, what's her name? Zoe Lee. We'll give her a shout out. She was telling me that she's like very intrigued by the idea of her podcast, but she hates the Prem.
Oh, wow.
Oh, does she?
Well, we can change it up. She said she doesn't watch it, and she doesn't.
What league does she watch?
I don't know. We'll see.
I think she likes international tournaments, I guess.
Probably Spanish. La Tapas.
For the Uber Eats league.
So yeah, no, for real though, with no bullshit, Kareem, before you keep going, my bad. Just, yeah, if you guys actually want to hear something, like, actually let us know. Like, I joke. I said this was a Prem and Champions League podcast, but I actually don't care what we talk about. I'll go and watch it and we can.
Let me know if you need advice on some sauce, you need advice on cooking. What you need? We're here for you, bro.
We got you. Got it. We can get a hotline going and everything.
Yo.
Dude, I want to start a podcast where there's like this podcast called. I think it's called Miami and Fit or Healthy and Fit, something like that, bro. And they just bring on baddies, bro, and then they ask them.
All right, well, any.
No. Kareem, continue.
That's fire, bro. No, because they get the take. They get the take from the women. They're like, oh, so like, what makes you want to be loyal with your man? And then they're like, just until I find someone else more attractive. And I'm like, oh my God.
Unpaid promotion. I like that for sure. We'll check it out. I'll check it out. Maybe.
We're pretty bad too, so.
All right, boys. Do we got any closing comments before we head on out?
Well, follow us on our Instagrams. And everything. Yeah. Everything's in our link at the clean sheet with 3 E's. We want to definitely be posting more. If you guys want to hear transfer talks and news, then hit us up about that. We've got Fabrizio Romano on the phone. He said, "Here we go."
We can get Fabrizio on here.
Subscribe to my OnlyFans.
Yo, what's the link?
Hey, yo.
Creamy. Oh, God. All right. Well, that has been everything from us today at the Clean Sheet. It's been a fantastic couple of last weeks with y'all talking Euros, as always. And it's me. It's Enrique. Kareem.
Creamy.
Ryo. this guy cruising, bro.
Oh God. Yeah, it's Remy.
Remy.
Right. Remy.
It's Emi. And this has been the clean sheet. All right, mate.
No, the cream Wait. Sheet.
The cream sheet. This has been Oh God. This has gone off the rails. This has been the cream sheet. Thank you all for listening, and peace. Drake. Why?
Oh my god, bro. I can't believe it.
I've been sitting at first base, ordered Wagyu steak. Jordan Deer caught me. I'm trying to take home plate. I'm never safe. I'm fucking bitches with my waif. Damn, I'm riding with Kareem in the race.